Hello everyone. How rusty is my voice going to sound right now? Because I woke up in the middle of the night. This is very, very early morning AM. And so I can't be very loud right now. Not trying to wake anyone, so bear with me. It's time for me to get through these Bridgerton episodes, and I am so excited to see part two, but I want to see a lot of smashing. Like, I don't want to be let down. Season two, we just saw Anthony going down on Kate. Absolutely no penetration. And then we see Colin fingering Penelope. No penetration yet. Please give me what I need, which is porn. The show is such softcore porn, but season one we got to see the Duke giving his woman Daphne some pipe. Like, give us a man giving his bitch some pipe, please. Stop teasing us. All right. Okay, so now it's time to get into the goodness that is episode three of season three of Shonda Rhimes's Bridgerton. Woo! Like, this is where I should insert like the clapping noises, but let's get into it. Okay, so episode three begins with Colin and Penelope getting it in. Giving some tongue action, some making out. Maybe they were gonna get to some good dicking down. We don't know, but we're excited. I'm excited. I'm like, this is what I came for. This is what I watched this damn show for. To see two people who are into each other and building all this tension, and then they just go. And they get married and they go at it and they give us what we want. But we didn't get that because Colin sits up in bed. He was just having a sex dream about his woman, Penelope, or his crush, his muse. I was like, ugh, too good to be true. Why do I fall for it every single time we see that? They're gonna sparse out this connection. They're gonna make us work for it. So then, Eloise tells Penelope that she didn't spread Colin's secret around town. And Colin tells Penelope that he cannot coach her anymore. And it's like, I love that he is that self-aware to know that he actually wants to be with her. So this whole coaching her thing, this whole helping her be with other people is a problem for him. So the Featherington sisters, they drink this green drink that's supposed to get them pregnant with a son. And it reminds me of this one time my aunt made this huge mug of something, and it was so vile. It was like, it tasted so bad, and it was so strong. And she was like, drink this. And it was for a reason I'm not gonna say. So I drink this drink because she's my grandma, and she loves me, and she cares, and she's concerned. It was a battle to get that down. It is just kind of funny how, it's like very old school for some people to make some type of drink that you're supposed to consume for it to cure an ailment. And it's like, it tasted so bad. But anyways, so it's like, back in when Bridgerton is from, like, yeah, they're gonna be giving people drinks to get pregnant with the son because they really didn't know what they were doing. So we see that Benedict Bridgerton, who has always been a whore of all whores out of the Bridgertons, if I'm not mistaken. Hasn't he always been the one? Oh, yeah. Season one, he had a thing. Oh my gosh. I think I'm getting a mistaken. In season one, wasn't it Benedict Bridgerton who was in love with a lady of the night? Or was that Anthony? Oh Lord. It was Anthony. Anthony was into that lady of the night. No, she wasn't the lady of the night. She used to sing. Or wasn't she a singer and a lady of the night? Whatever. The Bridgerton boys are all whores for the most part. So Benedict, he is there and he is into this blonde woman. She's a blonde baddie. Like, I find her very sexy, very seductive. She just has, like, I'm great in bed vibes. You know what I mean? Don't you get that read from her? Like, there's some people who just give this energy that's like, okay, it's gonna be a good time. You're not gonna have any regrets. You're gonna be with me and then think about me forever. And to me, that's her energy. That's the vibe she's on. And I think Benedict could match that. And I mean, I do not find him attractive necessarily. He's not ugly, but he doesn't do it for me. And, but she does. And they just seem like the perfect match. So they start, hooking up. They start hooking up, and I don't even know the bitch's name. Blonde baddie. I'm gonna call her blonde baddie. Sorry, no research right now. So then Penelope tells Colin that Lord Debling is interested in her. And so Lord Debling is kind of perfect. He has a receding hairline, but it's okay. He's tall, he's handsome. He looks like a good time. Like, honestly, he has a pretty good nose. Like, it's big. And he has this big straight nose that I think he could multitask with. I'm not saying no more. You would know exactly. If you're grown, you know exactly what I mean when I say that. And so I'm gonna leave it right there. But I like Lord Debling. I love his vibe. I want him to be with someone great. And he just is, he seems so sweet. And he's just on Penelope's side when she was just there floundering around everyone looking like an idiot because she doesn't have any riz and she can't flirt. But at the same time, like, he's gone all the like he travels, he's not home. So it's like being with him means that you're gonna be a single mom. It's not like you could FaceTime him. It's not like you could text him. It's not like you could call him. He's like out at sea or whatever the hell it is that he's doing. So you're in this relationship with a man that you don't even know if he's alive half the time. You don't even know what he's doing half the time. That is a huge compromise, and he's aware of it. And so he wants to be careful and meticulous about who he chooses to be with because he has to be with a woman who's like really into him because he's only going to be there partially, part time. So Cressida, she wants Lord Debling too. And I don't know why. Is it because she sees Penelope as a short, round little girl and she sees herself as more attractive than Penelope? I would choose Penelope over Cressida. Like, Penelope got them tits, you know? And she's cute and she's a bit of a spinner if you think about her height. And she's sexy to me. She's adorable to me, but yet grown. Like, she's adorable, but yet, grown ass woman at the same time. And so there are enough men. We see enough men that Penelope is flirting with and the men who are at these balls. I don't know why Cressida is going for Lord Debling. Cressida is like very unlikable. I know that they're working on making her likable because she's friends with Eloise, but I don't like her still. I don't know. Am I alone? Are there any Team Cressida people out there? So then Lord Debling tells Penelope that he doesn't read Lady Whistledown. And Penelope is really excited because, Penelope talked about Colin trying to help her find a husband, and that's perfect for her, a man who doesn't even know about her side hustle. And she tells Lord Dubling, Penelope tells Lord Dubling that she doesn't share his interest, and he is unfazed. He's like, "But I'm interested in them tits of yours, so that's okay." So he asks Penelope, Lord Dubling asks Penelope to dance. What is the significance of a dance? I feel that what I think I can deduce from the show, and I could be completely off, but I think when a man dances with a woman, it signifies that man and woman are romantically interested in each other, and it's like the first step towards getting married. And I don't know what the Okay, so I was thinking about what's the equivalent of that today, and I guess you could say that, and I haven't read the books, don't know what I'm speaking about, but I feel that a first asking a woman to dance and her accepting and y'all having a dance at a ball on the dance floor is a first date. And it is definitely a gateway to some pussy and some courting. We're not really, I don't think you're really supposed to be getting down much before you get married, but it's a gateway to courting. And so it's a way to show interest, and it's so corny. Like, it's so cute and so corny at the same time. I don't know. It's like we could dance, but we also need to see if we have chemistry, like actual chemistry off of the dance floor. So then Lord Dubling, tells Penelope, he asks her how would she feel if someone would propose to her, and that is so adorable. Again, they didn't have sex, they didn't kiss. It's so cute and so not what I want, Like, imagine somebody asking how you'd feel if someone would propose to you and y'all didn't even make out, It's fascinating. It's like, that's one of the reasons why I love the show, because I'm transported, because I can never live in this universe. I would have to be a lady of the night, I would really have to be a lady of the night and then like hope to wife one of my customers, because I'm not gonna buy the cow without having some milk. I know that's not the phrase. That's why I said it that way. So, Penelope almost gets hurt by a hot air balloon that was drifting her way, and Lord Debling saves her, and Cressida then pretends to be injured to get Lord Debling's attention. I like this show, but I could have done without this scene because it came across as like extremely corny, and there's a lot of Bridgerton that's a bit corny to begin with, so we don't need this like heavy ass hot air balloon that's coming towards Penelope. She's overweight, but she's not that overweight. She could have moved out of the way on her own without Lord Debling covering her because they both could have gotten their heads smashed. So we didn't need it. There's so many other ways he could have proven his interest or that he's a protector than having him fling himself on top of Penelope on the ground, on the grass. Like, we didn't need all that. Anyways, moving right along. Lady Danbury's brother is interested in Violet Bridgerton. So this is what annoys me about this series. I don't believe that pretty much every pairing on Bridgerton needs to be an interracial pairing. And it's like this show is not featuring dark-skinned women being with a white person. So let's take it back a bit. We have the black family that the Kent family, whose son inherited this mansion and this wealth. It is a dark, husband is a dark black man with a biracial, fair-skinned black woman. Then we have this dark man who's interested in pale Francesca. Then we have Lady Danbury's brother who's interested in Violet Bridgerton. We only have Kate and Anthony as far as a dark woman with a white man. And so this whole interracial thing, it's interracial in just one way, with the man being black, or the man, yeah, with the man being black and with a white woman, or the man being black and with a biracial woman. Like, get the F out of here. First and foremost, we don't need pretty much every couple on the show to be interracial. First and foremost, like, we don't need that much of this type of a colorblind society. And if you're really gonna go there and have all these interracial couples, like, there's so many other pairings that don't exist yet on this show. There's pretty much no, Asian women, and well, there's an Asian man with a Featherington, but which I forgot about. There goes another interracial couple, but I don't need that. I'm not watching this show to be like, I don't need this show to be that progressive and that diverse. You could have a lot of diversity, but where are the couples that are not interracial, and where are the black women and the dark women with white men? It's completely one-sided, pretty much, and I'm over it. I don't enjoy it, and it makes me really interested to see what the other pairings will be for the rest of this series, because apparently there are 8 books, so there's quite a lot of content still to be produced, but I don't like it. It doesn't sit right in my spirit that I can't just watch, or that because I feel like an agenda is being pushed on us. We already know that the show is a colorblind society. Why everybody gotta be in an interracial relationship? I'm not into it. And I know there was, again, and I forgot about another black guy, white girl couple, the very first season, the main couple. The Duke and Daphne, proving my point yet again. It's what it is outside of this show. When you see a black and white couple, it tends to be a black man with a white woman. Why are y'all also showing that on this show if you're clearly trying to be incredibly diverse? Bring us the diversity then, because right now it's super one-sided. So I really don't like Lady Danbury's brother with Violet Bridgerton for the aforementioned reasons. Like, okay, show us more black love, show us more white love, show us more Hispanic love, Asian love. Like, get the F out of here, Bridgerton casting department. F right off, 'cause you're failing at this blatant diversity that you're trying to show on this show, when all you're doing is showing black men with white women in the Duke and Daphne, in Lady Danbury and Violet Bridgerton, in the black guy and Francesca, and whoever else I said and forgot about, possibly. F off. So Benedict is attracted to that sassy, beautiful blonde woman. As I already mentioned, she is a widow. They dance together on the dance floor. I might have been going out of sequence. Maybe they start F yeah, they start effing later or whatever. I don't care if I'm out of sequence or not. I do love them. I think they have a very good vibe together. I think they're super sexy together. This is white love, by the way. Like, right after I say what I say, this is white love. But anyways, I like them together. I think she's a bad bitch. She does it for me. I find her very cute, or very sexy, actually. So Francesca doesn't care to pitch herself to the thirsty men who are throwing themselves at her because she's the diamond, so they want a piece. And at another ball, Francesca stands outside with the silent black man that, or the same ball, that she's into. And this is their idea of romance. I enjoy watching it, but absolutely not. You have to talk to me. I have to know you're really smart. You have to be able to form, sentences that are cohesive. You have to be funny. And so being silent is gonna make me run in the opposite direction. But Francesca is a weirdo like this, so this is like what sexting is to her, like silence is. So Colin asks his mother what she hopes for her children and for her children to find. And Violet Bridgerton, Lady Bridgerton, she says that she wants her kids to have passion when it comes to getting married. And she says it's rare for two people to start as friends and then find out that it's something more. Do you guys believe that? Because I don't do the whole, like, if I'm on a dating app and I talk to people who are like, I want to be friends per first. I want to be friends. I want to be friends. I tell all of them, I'm not doing that. Because it's like, I let them know that if I am interested in them and if there is romantic chemistry, I'm not playing the friend game. I'm not going to be in the friend zone. I also think it's like a very easy way to not spend for a guy, not to spend money on a date if he claims that y'all are quote unquote friends. But I feel that I've seen enough people go from friends to something more. But I agree with her 100%. Like, is it the norm for people to be friends first? Absolutely not. So I do believe it's more rare, but it is also, it's just as, it's also common as well. It's both. It's just not that simple. And sometimes, like, maybe both friends wanted each other and they just didn't feel right about, they didn't have the courage to pursue something more, or both of them were in a relationship, or one of them was in a relationship. But I don't, me personally, I don't like the idea of friends first for myself. But I've seen it many, many times. So then Colin approaches Penelope and says that he's wanted to ask her something. And then Lord Debling approaches and asks Penelope for a dance. And Colin watches and he's pressed. I don't know. There's something about Colin getting activated because Penelope is pursued by Lord Debling. I don't know. That's very true to life, though, honestly. There's a lot of like people who have to feel that they're going to lose you in order for them to actually feel that they need to make a move and feel threatened and to want you. Sometimes it's like seeing people pursue someone you're into kind of forces you to like step it up a bit. But I don't know. I do enjoy the rollout of Colin and Penelope. And what I love the most is, or one of the things I love the most is that Penelope asked him to kiss her. And then that's when he discovered he was feeling her. I love that. I don't know. It's just maybe we all should be out here asking people to kiss us. Maybe that's all there is to it. Anyways, that's the end of my notes, so I guess that's where episode 3 ended. And now let me get into episode 4.